Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We are live right now inside the Kia Studios. We're having an excellent show here. It's Ready or Mott. Normally, on the weekdays, we start off at this time. But right now, we're going through the final hour. At 92.9thegame on Twitter, at RealThomasMott is my Twitter handle. Go ahead and give that a follow. Three away from 600 followers, so maybe we get that by the end of the show. At RealThomasMott. Again, I'm your host, Thomas Mott. As again, this show's been great. I mean, we're going to be replaying. Come up here about 17 minutes. DeSean Tate was on hour number one. One of my favorite people to interview. One of the good guys here at 92.9 The Game. And Lloyd Pierce might have hinted at the options at 8 and 10. There's that. And then also, listen, I mean, if you want a guy who makes a case for Trae Young winning Rookie of the Year, DeSean Tate did it on the interview, which I was surprised by. So we're playing that for you here in about 17 minutes. It is the top of the hour. Which, you know what that means. We have to update you on what's happening in the world of sports, especially in the NBA, as the Milwaukee game's gone final. Are you ready? Let's go. We'll start first here in the MLB as the Braves, of course, lost today 3-2, not being able to get the three-game sweep on the Brewers, but they do go 2-for-1, so the plus there, and they will now hit the road to take on the Giants for 4 games and then the Cardinals for 3. In the game today, it was Mike Foltynewicz on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. His best outing so far, but still not perfect. Now listen, the fastball was good, about 96 miles an hour all day. The command was on and off. It wasn't bad, but he got into a little bit of trouble early, given a couple of solo home runs off. He finishes the day with 3 strikeouts, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, both of which were solo shots. The bullpen, you might ask, how'd it do? Blevins, Toussaint, and Webb didn't give up a single run, but they combined to give up 4 hits. It was Wes Parsons who came in to try and close this one out in the 10th inning and gave up a solo shot, which essentially was it was a walk-off home run, even though, you know, you're away. So it wasn't technically a walk-off, but still, that one sealed it, and the Braves were not able to get any bats on the bottom of the 10th, and they fell. Only 5 hits in total for the Atlanta Braves. Acuna had a solo shot, and Freddie Freeman also had a solo shot. Freeman is now hitting .314. With 10 home runs, make that 11 home runs, 28 RBIs, 25 walks, and 45 games. He's on pace for 35 homers. And for the folks who contended that 2 weeks of the season that he didn't have the big power anymore, I think you were wrong. Freeman has been absolutely fantastic. I think, 4 or 5 games now with a home run? I think that's the streak right now in a row. Again, the big story here, what you'll hear tomorrow morning on Dukes and Bell, and, of course, the morning show with John and Hugh and Andy and Randy, they're going to talk about Mike Foltynewicz's start here. It's, in my opinion, from what I watched and what I've seen of Folty the past couple of games, it was his best outing so far. But still, Soroka and Frieder are better, which is fine, but we're expecting Folty to get to this elite level or get to, you know, the best pitcher in the starting rotation. He's still not there, but today was at least a plus trending in the right direction. I mentioned it, and officially, it's over in Toronto. And we have a series. Toronto beat Milwaukee in 2 overtimes, 118 to 112. Probably the worst night from Giannis Antetokounmpo has had in months. 12 points, 5 of 16 from the field. The Bucks as a whole shot 37% from the field and 38% from downtown. The only other high scorer on this team was Grant Hill, who had 24, and Brogdon had 20 off the bench. The starters were bad for Milwaukee, and yet they were in this game. Again, 2 overtimes. They had a couple of shots at the end to win it. Giannis did foul out early in overtime number 2, and after that, it was the Cyborg, as Charles Barkley has nicknamed him. Kawhi Leonard, 36 points, was huge in overtime to get the Raptors on the board and make it a series. Game four will be in two nights. I still think this is Milwaukee's series. I mean, come on, Milwaukee will win this in five, in my opinion. They'll get game four because it took literally Giannis scoring 12 points and two overtimes for Toronto to finally beat the Bucks. That's how good and talented the Bucks are. I would still take the Bucks in this series. And of course, tomorrow night, game four, the Western Conference Finals, closeout game four in Portland. Will Damian Lillard be healthy? How will he play? Because the word out on the street is that Damian Lillard is playing with separated ribs, and that's why he's been struggling a lot, struggling mightily in this series. Atlanta United fell today to snap a five-game winning streak to the New York Red Bulls 1-0. A Tom Barlow 65-minute goal broke the tie, and that was eventually enough, and that was the difference. Listen, it was an up-and-down day for United. I talked about this way at the beginning of this show. United has to get better at set pieces. They have to get better at corner kicks, especially corner kicks, because they haven't scored on a corner kick all year and had multiple opportunities in this game. And listen, the Achilles heel of United on just a total basic level, the fact that when people score before us and we are trailing 1-0, teams back off, they play more defense, they don't go on those risky runs, and we struggle scoring. Now, Martinez had a lot of opportunities, a couple of them early on in this game, and Joseph Martinez also had a really, really good look at a cross into the box that he missed. So it's not like they played horrible, but still, we are used to Atlanta United the past couple of games being really, really dominant. That was not the case today. You go to the standings, they still sit fourth in their conference with 20 points, and they're really only 4 points out of the lead. Philadelphia and D.C. are tied at the top of that one. They will go to Salt Lake City on Friday to take on Real Salt Lake at 9 p.m. That'll be an 8:30 pregame. Of course, Conti Longshore will have the call, and that's on 92.9 The Game and a 9 p.m. kickoff. And just so happens, it'll be a Friday edition of Ready or Mott by yours truly after that game. So hopefully we're talking about a big Atlanta United win, and we'll see what happens come this Friday. In other news, the PGA Championship concluded today. Brooks Koepka won his fourth major and back-to-back at the PGA. He had a rough day, shot a 4-over. That's the worst final round by a major champion, I think, in the history of golf. Didn't matter, though, because he had a 7-stroke lead going into the day. Dustin Johnson made a run, made it interesting, shot a 1-under-69. Not good enough. Koepka's the best golfer in the world. He reclaims the world number one title after this win. And you sit here and you go, could there be someone as dominant as Tiger? He has a long way to go, but it wasn't Rory. Jordan has struggled. Brooks Koepka could be the next guy. It's a little early to say that, but we can at least say with 100% certainty he's the best golfer in the world, and right now it's really not even close. I mean, you could shoot a 63, 65 to open up your first two rounds, a record in a major there. Most likely you're going to win because the lead is going to be so big. So shout out to Brooks Koepka as he is falling out of his mind. And then in other news, in terms of UGA football, as we're starting to crank back up here, you know, before we know it, we'll be talking dogs and the SEC on this show. Kirby Smart was asked in a kind of a hometown Q&A in Bainbridge, Georgia on Thursday, would he ever think about leaving Georgia to coach anywhere else in the future? He said, quote, "Why would I leave home? I have more passion and energy in my heart for the University of Georgia than you'll ever realize, because it did more for me than anything I've been to in my life." Of course, Kirby Smart has a 32-10 record as Georgia's head coach. That's the highest winning percentage in UGA history. And he got seven of those players drafted in the NFL draft in 2019. Listen, I said it when I first talked about this like 2 hours ago. Kirby Smart is in the elite level of head coaches in college football. Now, there is an elite of the elite level, which is Dabo and Nick Saban. So to get there, Kirby's got to win a national championship game, and that's fine. But he's at least gotten the program to the heights where every year you just reload with five-star recruits and they're good to go. Bama, Clemson, are they still more elite programs because of the winning? Yes, we can be honest. That's fair. But Kirby, what he's created here in Georgia is unbelievable, and I think they're set up for a huge run this year. Jake Fromm's last season, I love Jake Fromm. I've said on this show that I think he's going to be drafted ahead of Tua. That's how good of a year he's going to have, and so we'll keep an eye out on that as we go forward. But Kirby Smart says he doesn't plan to leave, and if you win one national championship game here, then, I mean, we'll sign you for life. It's the same with, I mean, Saban has a bunch. Dabo now has multiple. You win one, and especially if you get two, I mean, we'll give you $10 million a year, and you stay for life. It's how the SEC, the ACC, and college football works. So good news for Dogs fans. I don't think there's anyone out there who would hear that and go, oh, no. I don't want Kirby Smart to be here for the long term. What are you doing? Kirby Smart's been fantastic after taking over for Mark Richt, and it's been a great team so far. And like I said, Fromm this year, whew, man, I am really excited to see what Jake Fromm can do. And finally, in kind of sad, well, not sad news today, but today would have been Andre the Giant's 73rd birthday. So a shout out to the family of Andre the Giant. Of course, he died at a younger age, just being, you know, that massive of a guy. A former WWE superstar, and also played what was his name in The Princess Bride? I forget what his name was. Andre the Giant and The Princess Bride. I almost want to look it up. I'm going to look it up really quickly because The Princess Bride is one of the best movies of all time. And Andre the Giant was, you know, the giant in there. But I can't remember what was his name. He played, drumroll please, Fezzik. Oh, yeah, that was his name. Fezzik was Andre the Giant. Okay, well, there we go. All right, that ends it for the What's Happening Around the World of Sports. What you need to do right now is go vote on my Twitter poll. It's pinned on my Twitter account, and it's already getting a ton of votes. Here's what you do. You search at real, not the fake, you know, at real Thomas Mott on Twitter, pinned on my account, is this question. Which area of the Falcons need to improve the most this year? Pass rush, protection for Matt Ryan, or the run game? We have about 236 votes so far. This will run for a full day. Right now, pass rush is leading with 50% of the votes. Protection for Matt Ryan is number two with 38%. And the running game is number 12. A lot of pretty, funny comments here. G. Lenz says, I choose D, all of the above. And Nick Thompson just said, yes. So, no, you can't pick all of the above. If you had to pick one, you know, if the pass protection stayed the same as last year, the run game stayed the same, or the pass rush stayed the same, which one would you want to have improve? And you can go ahead and vote for that on the Twitter poll, because we talked about that a lot here on this show a little bit early on. Coming up in about 6 minutes. DeShaun Tate, the resident basketball expert, was on a long time ago on this show at the very start, and he breaks down not only Hawks draft, because the Hawks have two picks at 8 and 10. He not only breaks down who should win Rookie of the Year, which, you know, actually is differing from my opinion, hint, hint, breaks down MVP, and finally, why I'm ridiculous to say that Milwaukee should be, you know, not laughed at if they make it to the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors. That's coming up in 6 minutes. Don't touch that dial. We're still rolling here live in the Kia Studios. It's Ready or Mott, Sports Radio, 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Joining us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, Mr. DeShaun Tate, our resident basketball expert here at 929 The Game. DeShaun, how are you doing on a Sunday night?
Outstanding, Thomas. Thank you so much for having me, man. Just trying to keep up with a ton of basketball, and you know I'm all in for that, man. Especially during this time of the year. I know that's not something particularly that the Braves and the baseball fans necessarily want to hear, but it's always baseball. It's always basketball. I mean, round ball 94 feet on the hardwood in my world.
Hey, listen. I mean, I agree. Yes, it's United. It's Braves time. But we're also sitting here a couple of weeks, days, really, June 20th away from the NBA draft. And so I want to jump into Lloyd Pierce's comments at the Combine, really focusing on defense, wanting to go defense here at 8-10. But for me, as I read the comments that you posted on your Twitter and you sent me, it feels like he doesn't see us getting a real game changer at 8-10, more of just a role player who could be a good defender. What did you see from his comments?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would imagine that the defensive presence is something that, like he said, that he thought that was something that was a priority for the team. But I did also take notice that he didn't specifically mention, this doesn't mean that he's not looking for someone in the front court, but he said defensive presence and didn't specify if he was talking front court or back court. Just felt like there's someone that has to commit to defense on this team. And in addition to that, obviously they'll be trying to work on, get the draft on what's probably going to be the best available guys that there will be there. I highly doubt that they'll use all five of the picks. I think most people who know basketball would know that, but they got a lot of money to work with, $40 million in cap room. And so from that standpoint, you can be looking at, a defensive guard or a defensive big in that, from that standpoint, because there aren't many there outside of Jackson Hayes from Texas. and even maybe a backup point guard or something like that for Trae Young, and really in a really good situation, even though 8-10 is not quote-unquote the sexiest spots on the board.
DeJounte, join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, our basketball expert here at 92.9 The Game. You mentioned the five picks, and Pierce has said, and like everyone keeps saying, they're not going to, you know, draft five players. They're going to package and move up. Do you see, though, I mean, the Suns and Chicago sitting there at 6-7, do you see them moving out of that spot in a draft that's this week?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Do you see the Suns and Bulls actually moving back in this draft? Because if the Hawks want to move up, then you know what, to 6-7 most likely to get DeAndre Hunter or maybe Jared Culver. But do you see those teams at 6-7 even wanting to move back in a draft that you and I have both said is very thin with talent?
Probably not, to be honest with you. I would imagine that they have the same mindset that the Atlanta Hawks have when you're looking at that number 8 and number 10 pick. You know, and that's a situation the Hawks may not have to. I think the thing that benefits the Hawks, I've always been a firm believer, and I've got a couple little sources sprinkled in with this, but I've also been a firm believer that they want a Cam Reddish type of guy. I mean, I think ultimately going into the NCAA tournament, that that's something that they wanted. Now, granted, do I think that they would pull the trigger first on a Jared Culver or on a DeAndre Hunter? If they can get that, then absolutely. But is it worth moving up if you really believe that Cam Reddish, who has disappointed quite a bit this year in college basketball, but still has those tools and the length and some things that you can't necessarily teach, because they believe that he can fall to them. When you start looking at a Darius Garland, who probably, you know, I hear got, you know, some promises coming out of his interviews with the Phoenix Suns, and then, you know, you have the Kobe White from North Carolina. These are a couple of the guys that can probably I've been hearing about is moving up in the draft in comparison to a Cam Reddish that might end up falling to an 8, which is at a pretty good spot. Now, as far as the 10th pick, I don't know. I'm not sure if there's someone that might be interested in that. I couldn't imagine that there would be, but you never know with the minds of a general manager in the NBA. That's why we do this job and they do theirs.
We keep saying, and at least on my show, I keep saying that this team, with the right move this offseason, can improve and make a playoff run coming up in 2019 this next year. In your eyes, as currently constructed with 8-10 and the potential to add free agents, how much can this team realistically improve for 2019? Because, again, they only did win 29 games this year.
I think that they can. How many more, I'm kind of skeptical of. I think realistically, and I don't like to put a max on things, but I feel very comfortable with saying 32 to 34 games, certainly a good 33 to 34, I think, as far as a minimum. I feel really comfortable about what they can do from that standpoint, not just with the pieces that they can add. The question, I think, would be, are they willing to build this through free agency, which is not necessarily exactly the way that I think that the Hawks is trying to go in that direction. Again, they got a lot of money to play with, and I don't know if you lose it if you don't use it, but you know, I would imagine that they try and put some pieces around it, what those pieces are, how that works so well with the system that they have between Trey, which I would imagine is some players that would love to play there, and obviously John Collins, and it is Atlanta. So from that standpoint, I would imagine that it's pretty optimistic. Again, when you're talking about that 8 and that 10 spot, to get some valuable key pieces, I know that Lloyd Pierce did say that he does see some valuable players right around that range. Me personally, not knocking Pierce, but me personally, I don't necessarily see who those players are unless there's somebody that we expected to be off the board and they're still on it. But however, the unfortunate part when you're talking about the draft for the Atlanta Hawks is that there's no Jared Culver and there's no DeAndre Hunter and there's no Cam Reddish. Where do you go considering the fact that you still need length, hopefully somebody with defensive mentality, you still need some shooting? I don't know the future of Torian Prince. We don't know the future of Kent Bazemore, but there's been some rumors that have been going around for quite some time that those aren't necessarily guys that have the brightest futures for the Atlanta Hawks. Again, I don't know that. It's just been some things that have been rumored around quite some time. So what do they do in that point? Maybe, perhaps, I think you start talking about the Keldon Johnsons of Kentucky. maybe the Romeo Langfords of Indiana, guys that I think can maybe slash a little bit but still bring some production, especially from a perimeter shooting standpoint.
DeShawn Tate right now joining us live on the WadeFord.com hotline. So the NBA awards, the three finalists for each award, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man, etc., were all announced a couple days ago. Do you see any surprises, any shockers in any of those awards that we might not expect? I mean, especially Rookie of the Year, I keep saying it's Luka. I think it should be Luka based on this year. Do you see any sort of surprise in any of these NBA awards upcoming?
That's the Texas bias coming out.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
That's the Texas bias coming out. Everything bigger in Texas. Realistically, I'm not sure if there's really anything that Trey can do. Obviously, there's no more games to be played, so there's not really more that he can do. But when you're just kind of looking at this thing, I say just the quick start that Luka Doncic got off to in comparison to where Trae Young necessarily didn't, is something that's going to kind of push Luka over the edge. I think most people would have been, first of all, I have no idea why DeAndre Ayton is even in this conversation. If they just needed to throw an extra person in, I suppose that he'd get extra person that they chose. He didn't make his team better. But as far as these two, I mean, I would say definitely Trae has definitely made this team much, you know, much better, taking a significant leap. I'm not really sure, especially with the pieces that Luka Doncic had around him, and got probably like 8 or 9 guys that are scoring in double figures and such. You know, he's got better pieces and more experienced veteran players around him that made him look really good as well. And it doesn't really help the fact that Trae Young has to guard the best position in the most toughest position in the NBA, as to where you can kind of hide some of those deficiencies by a Luka Doncic. But granted, give Doncic the credit that he deserves. Do I expect any surprises? No. I think that it's deserving of a co-MVP. Do I think it'll go that way? A co-Rookie of the Year? Do I think it'll go that way? I don't know. I don't like to bank on it. I wouldn't feel good about putting the house up on it, but I think that it's worthy of a co-MVP, that's for sure, considering the things. And everybody talks about two things. I'm sorry, I get a little long-winded. There's two things that a lot of people talk about. Number one, I think there's two.
Oh.
And maybe since 16 years old, you know, as a pro athlete and whatnot versus Trae Young. Tell you something, there's a lot of guys that have been playing this game since 16 years old that are coming from overseas against pro players, and they didn't necessarily pay enough. So I want to give him his credit there. However, I will say enough to say that, you know, Trae Young has certainly, you know, beat some bounds, done some things that just put Atlanta basketball on the map and make some people take notice from a national standpoint.
DeShawn Tate joins right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, getting into the whole Rookie of the Year debate that we've done a lot here on this show. Quickly, MVP, who's your pick for MVP? Is it going to be Giannis, or do you go with James Harden?
I know. I think the biggest thing for James Harden, why it really kind of looks so good, is the fact that the 30-plus points that he had for such a long time and things like that. I know the Atlanta Hawks ended up breaking that record, but that looked really good. When you got a Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's not only up for MVP, but he's also up for one of the Defensive Player of the Year. When you look at his numbers from a rebounding standpoint, you look at his numbers, you know, and just taking this team to not only being the number one team in the East in terms of seeding, but the number one record in the NBA. I think those are some things you got to take into consideration. I think that it's Giannis, but I wouldn't be too disappointed if it certainly ends up being James Harden, because he's certainly overly deserving. I just thought that we were going to get a little bit more out of this team, talking about the Houston Rockets, based on everything that James Harden would be considered as far as his MVP versus a Greek Freak, where you have him potentially looking forward to going on to an NBA Finals with the Milwaukee Bucks, by the way.
I want to bring up those Milwaukee Bucks. I want to flip over here to the NBA playoffs, because it's looking like, now again, Toronto could make a little run here and make this series interesting, but I think all of us could put our money on, obviously, Golden State taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. That, it could be, in my opinion, especially if KD does not play for part of the games, a fascinating NBA Finals where Milwaukee could have a chance at winning this. What say you?
As far as the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, as far as the NBA Finals, we look ahead to possibly Milwaukee versus Golden State.
I don't like that unless Thomas Mott wants to put a nice little
or something on it.
Maybe we can put a six pack or something. Maybe we could put something nice on. I don't feel confident. There's a reason for that. It's not like it's for no reason. I mean, we're looking at this team. I know some people say, well, maybe Golden State's a better team without Kevin Durant. I'm not sure I'll go that far. But they look like the Golden State of old that we're used to, and they don't look like they have to work for their baskets nearly as hard. They look like they're having more fun, and, like, they're really not dropping off, like, not even missing a beat without Kevin Durant. So I'm not going to go that far, but I will say, again, when you were talking about that MVP race, Milwaukee Bucks would not even come remotely close to being here if it wasn't for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I think that this is a series as far as the Eastern Conference Finals that is certainly going to, I would imagine, probably go seven games. Of course, there's no guarantee to that. But when you're talking about meeting up with the Golden State Warriors, this might be a little bit too much for whichever one of those teams end up coming out, because I think it'll go six or seven games. Whichever one of those teams you come out, then you end up playing arguably the best team and franchise in the NBA in quite some years, a dynasty. I think it'll be probably a little bit too much.
He is Deshaun Tate on the WadeFord.com hotline. Listen, Deshaun, I'll text you later about this bet we might have brewing here in terms Milwaukee versus Golden State.
I want some of those big Texas margaritas, one of them XL size margaritas.
Yeah, I don't know.
You
want to fly back to Texas and get you one and bring it back? Is that what I have to do if I lose?
I wouldn't mind getting on a plane. We can get on a plane together and go over to your neck of the woods and see how show me how they treat royalty over there. Let everybody know that you owe me one of the big Texas size margaritas because you chose not to go against.
Well, hey, listen, I'll text you about it, and I'll just go to my my massive stash of funds and get us two plane tickets to Texas, no problem. Hey, Deshaun Tate, I appreciate you coming on at Tate's Take Sports. An excellent interview as always. Have a good rest of your Sunday night, man.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92thegame.com. This is Ready or Mott, your favorite late-night sports talk show. Normally, we'd be rolling through hour number one right now because, like, tomorrow night, I'm on 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., like our normal time. And, of course, tomorrow night's show, we have Mott's Matter With You planned, of course, Game of Thrones reaction planned. We always do that on a Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tonight, we're on a little bit earlier because of the Atlanta United game, which, of course, ended at about 8:12. And earlier than that, it ended around the 7 o'clock hour, and then they did the Conte and Longshore to the postgame. We upped on about 8:20, so we've been rolling along here inside the Kia Studios. I wanted to get to this, but before I get to that, at 99 The Game on Twitter, and go to my Twitter account right now and vote on this poll, which is it's doing well right now. It is I put this. It's pinned on my Twitter account at Real Thomas Mott. Which area of the Falcons needs to improve the most this year? You have three choices: one, pass rush; two, protection for Matt Ryan; three, the running game. Almost 300 votes so far in about an hour. Pass rush still leading at 50%. Protection for Matt Ryan is number two at 38%. And the running game is sitting at 13%. So go on at Real Thomas Mott and give me a follow and go ahead and tweet or go ahead and vote on that one as well. End of the show, but I wanted to get into this because it's just too good to pass up on talking about this. The best thing I saw today is an article on SI.com. titled, Professor Mike Leach Grades His Washington State Students' Play Design Skills. So this article, written by Tim Rohn for SI.com, talks about what is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in the world of college sports. Towards the end of last year, it says, Washington State football head coach Mike Leach, and if you remember, you don't know who Mike Leach is, he's, you know, the Washington State football head coach, kind of a crazy guy, right? Kind of a guy who does things out of the box and has great interviews. I want to say weirdo, but in a good way, like a really fun guy. So he decides that he wants to ask the University of Washington State if he could teach a class with his friend, who was the former state senator, Michael Bumgarner. And so they figured that they could work together and use their two respected fields to put together a leadership lessons in insurgent warfare and football strategies class. That is a real class that they had. And more than 44,000 people end up liking a tweet, which, of course, you know, was how we got this all started. So this spring, the university gave them the green light for this class, and Leach and Bumgarner asked interested students to submit an application consisting of two essay questions to see who would be selected to be in this class. Essay questions were, number one, can the British strategy for the Malaya insurgency be used today? And number two was, is the wishbone a viable offense for the NFL? Why or why not? This is real. This is all real that happened at Washington State University. So how it worked is, it was an ungraded, uncredited seminar. So you didn't get credit for it, and there were no grades. You'd have to go once a week on Wednesday nights for 5 weeks, and each session would last about 90 minutes. For what it's worth, it says the five classes would be a summation of the first four classes, open to the public and live-streamed online. So the students were essentially giving up one night of the week, adding an extra class on their course load in exchange for basically a private audience with one of the brightest minds in college football. So 40 students were admitted. So during the semester, and this really happened at Washington State University, Mike Leach taught a class. Leach gave a crash course on his famous air raid offense, and he explained at the basic level how the air raid predicates on creating space and devising ways to attack that space. He used game tape, he used visual aids, and he showed students how he layers routes, moves players around before the snap, and tries to put the defense in compromising positions. As part of the final project, and again, this was just too good. The best thing I saw today, Leach asked each of them to design three plays under the premise he might use one of them in a Washington State game next season against Houston. He said, quote, they were really quite impressive plays. There was some dimension to them. He also thought, whether it was intentional or not, that the students could combine their aspects of class in designing their plays, and that was kind of the overall design. So on the SI.com website, the SI reviewed the students' plays and picked the five favorites, and they show all of these different play designs. Number one is called Hesitation into Pick and Roll, a basketball-style hesitation, rise up into a pick and roll. And they actually kept going. They did one called, huh, all right, we'll see you later. It's a play designed for Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber. Another play was called the Unnamed Play. And Mike Leach said, this guy really knows how to use a ruler where he draws out exactly how the play goes. You got to look this up. On SI.com, Google Professor Mike Leach grades his kids' play design, because Leach gets into the X's and O's of all this. But this is real. Would you do it? This is because I'm fresh out of college. So I would. And this is, you know, we're college students. So you're taking a 16-hour workload where you got to take Spanish and, you know, you got to take your math class and you got to take your core class and you got to take a biology. It's hard, right? You got a lot of stuff to do. Would you, if you were taking, if you're still in college, or maybe you still are, would you take a Mike Leach taught air raid offense course that you had to go to once a week for 5 weeks for 90 minutes a night? You had to do homework for it. It wasn't graded and you didn't get any credit for it, but would you do it? I 100% would. Can you talk about a more fun class? Can you imagine doing a class with like Dan Quinn leading it? Or a class that, like, say, for instance, Matt Ryan was teaching. I mean, we would be all for that. It would be as fun as possible. But it's just a total Mike Leach thing to do. But it's crazy that the university was all gung-ho to do it, and it actually put it into fruition. I would have loved to have seen how many people actually applied and how many essays. 40 people in the class, that's 80 essays. And you had to read essays on British strategy for the Malaya insurgency and the wishbone, a viable offense for the NFL, why or why not? You had to write two essays there to get into the class. So that was easily, by far, the best thing that I saw today. And as always, one I like to bring to you at this time of night, because you just never know. You never know what you're going to find. But that was, I mean, come on, Mike Leach is one of the most fun college football coaches. And he actually, I mean, he has Washington State on the map. I mean, Washington State last year was top 10. Like, they were ranked. They were very, very good. Now, they, you know, the Minshew, the quarterback with the mustache, they got College Game Day. So it's a program that is, it's good. I mean, we talk about elite. I mean, they're not national championship contenders. They're not Georgia. They're not Alabama. They're not Clemson. But still, Leach has them on the up and up. And I think a lot of people were surprised they stayed there this year. But when you're having fun, I always think about this in terms of college football. You always talk about moving up in jobs. And I understand that, like moving up in jobs. But if you're having fun where you're at and you're getting paid a ton and you're the guy and you're not expected to win a national championship, because like he's not expected to compete up there in the Pac-12, beat Washington, you know, and that's about it. It'd be tough to get me to move jobs, especially if I was, you know, the kids are settled, the wife's settled, and you're having a good time overall. There you go. Look it up if you haven't seen it. Mike Leach grades his Washington State students' play design skills on SI.com. The best thing that I saw today. We only got about 10 minutes left of the show. I mean, time flies. This is a 3.5-hour-long show, so we had a lot of fun with that. I appreciate Mr. Dwayne Cohen's producing for me tonight, so we've had a great show overall. If you missed any part of this show, go to the 929thegame.com website, and you can always search my name or search the show name, Ready or Mod, and that way you can get all 3 hours in podcast form, which will be posted shortly. If you missed last night's show, I highly encourage listening to last night's show. There's one article on 929 The Game right now that's already been posted from my show last night. It's on there. You just go to 929thegame.com, 929thegame.radio.com. On the right-hand side where all those This Just In stories are, click on the one that says We Were All Wrong About Liberty Media. If you missed my segment on that last night, go listen to it. It's about a 10-minute segment. I think we were all wrong in terms of what we wished the Braves would do this offseason, and I break it down in a way that I think you're going to really enjoy. So go ahead and look at that one up as well. We're going to take a short break, you know, with that little 3-minute break where we'll get to the top of the hour. Amy Lawrence coming up next here. Actually, no, the CBS National Network, and then Amy Lawrence coming up at 2 a.m. So plenty more sports talk to come. And again, don't touch the dial because we're coming right back in about 3 minutes. It's Ready or Mod on Sports Radio, 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio, 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. That's basically it. That's the end of the show. We're about to get to the CBS National Network here coming up in about 4 minutes. Hope you guys enjoyed this edition of Ready or Mod. Again, we're back on tomorrow night at our normal time as we are hopping on at 11 p.m. and rolling with you guys until 2 a.m. after John Chuckery and Emily Austin are in the, I think that they have the Bunker Mentality slot tomorrow night. I think it's Chuckery and Austin. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that that is right. As you, again, will be riding with the CBS National Network coming up here in about 3 minutes. And then, just a few hours away, 6 a.m. comes, and you got a Monday edition of John and Hugh. And they'll, of course, have plenty of Braves and United talk coming up in really just a couple of hours. Again, hope you guys enjoyed this show. I had an absolute blast, and it was hopefully going to be a jam-packed show again tomorrow. Try to get some interviews there as well. The Braves are going to be, trying to bounce back after the big, after the loss to the Milwaukee Brewers, as they now will be on the road, technically in 2 minutes tonight, but Monday night at the New York Giants, San Francisco Giants, excuse me, a 9:45 first pitch. So that game will go, that game will end, I think, while we're still on the air. So we'll get you to be updated on that throughout the rest of the evening. There's still time to go to my Twitter account, at RealThomasMott, and vote on this Twitter poll. It'll be up the rest of the night, and it'll go until probably tomorrow night. We got over 300 votes right now. Again, which area the Falcons needs to improve the most this year? We got pass rush, protection for Matt Ryan, and the running game as your three choices. So go ahead and go to that and give it a listen, but give it a vote up there. We'll try to get as many votes as we can. Normally, these Twitter polls I run on my Twitter account get up to 2,000 votes. So if it's a good one, you get up there and we decide, and then we can talk about it tomorrow night again on the normal edition of Ready or Mott. I think I'm going to be on, I'm on Monday. I'm pretty sure I'm on Tuesday as well. For the rest of the week, I'm not sure. I do know that the United game against Salt Lake is on Friday. It's a 9 p.m. kickoff, an 8:30 pregame, and I am on the air after that one as well. So plenty more shows coming up this week. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Dwayne Cohen's producing for me tonight. Did an excellent job. Really appreciate him and all the producers that I have moving around here on this show. All 3 hours of the past 3 hours we've had will be podcasted in podcast form on the website at 929thegame.com, which you can always go to right now and listen to all 3 hours. So we definitely encourage you guys to go ahead and do that. CBS National Radio, again, coming up. They'll take you from 12 to 6. And then, of course, John and Hugh from 6 to 10. For Dwayne Cohen's, I am Thomas Mott. As again, we sign off. You listen to Ready or Mott. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. We'll see you tomorrow night, 11 to 2 at night. Thanks, guys.
This is The Game. The Game.
Live from the Kia Studios.
We are your sports station.
WZGC and WZGC HD1 Atlanta.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.